Now that Major League Baseball is back, I think back to my time in Little League, and I remember one season in particular. We were especially mediocre that year. We lost a lot more than we won, and after every loss, the coach would gather us together, take us for Slurpees or ice cream, and he would give us a similar pep talk about, "Guys, I'm so proud of you, because it doesn't matter whether you win or lose the game. It just matters how you play, the effort you put in. I'm very proud of you guys." I noticed he never gave us that same speech after winning a game. Then it was all, "We won, we're the best, this is the greatest feeling." When we lost, it was, "Does winning really matter anyway? All that really matters is we played hard and we're all winners." And that discrepancy doesn't really stop at the Little League level. And professional athletes as well. When they lose a playoff series, they're interviewed and they say, "Well, we put in our best effort, you know, we did what we could. All that matters is that we tried." But the winning team never says that. You know, imagine a porter going into the winner locker room. They're all wearing the celebratory t-shirts and wearing the goggles and spraying champagne everywhere. They're not jumping up and down saying, "It's all how you play the game." Because when you win, you win. And when you lose, well, isn't everybody a winner anyway? I always felt the same way about the phrase in Pirkei Avos, "Ezehu Ashir Hasamech B'Chalko." Who is really rich? He who is happy with what he has. You know, my parents would tell me this when I complained about something. Listen, you don't need to have everything. Because after all, who's really rich? Whoever's happy with what he has. Has anybody rich ever said that? When you're rich, you're actually rich. And when you're poor, it's like, well, we'll console you by telling you, well, isn't everybody rich, really? I want to share with you something that changed my perspective on this Mishnah. Helped me realize what exactly it means to be wealthy and how it really is in our control to come out as rich. Parshas Re'eh has many, many mitzvos. And the last section is the Kriyas HaTorah we'd read on the last day of every holiday in Chutz Laretz. Starts out Aser to Aser, which simply translated means, "You shall surely give Meiser, give charity, help out the poor." The Gemara Maseches Tainis and Daf Tes expounds the double lashon Aser to Aser as Aser Bishvil Shatis Asher. Give charity in order so you become rich. Hashem guarantees us that if we give charity, we help out the needy, we, the givers, will become rich. And the Gemara there in Tainis Daf Tes says that this is the one area we can challenge Hashem. We can put His promise to the test. We can hang our bottom dollar on this, literally. Give away your money, and you're guaranteed to become rich, the Gemara says. Only one small problem. It's not true. It's not true. Many people have given charity over the years and have not become wealthy. God doesn't just promise we're going to recoup the money or not lose out by giving charity. We're going to become rich, wealthy people. How can that be a guarantee? People say, well, it's referring to spiritual wealth, or it's referring to wealth in Olam Haba. That's not satisfying. That's a cop-out. The Gemara promised us we can test Hashem in this area and give charity and become rich, and you're going to tell me it means spiritual wealth in the next world? Rav Schwab, in this week's Parsha, Parshas Re'eh, has an explanation for what it means to be wealthy and how it's in our control. We misunderstand what it means to be wealthy. We think of wealth as a number. $1 million, $1 million, a certain number that makes a person wealthy. Let me ask you a question. You have two people. One person earns $25,000 a year. The other person earns $1 million a year. Which person is wealthier? Not spiritually, just finances. Which person is wealthier? One who earns $25,000 or $1 million? Is the answer A, the $25,000 guy? Is the answer B, the $1 million guy? Or is the answer C, they're the same? The answer is actually D, not enough information. You can't assess someone's wealth just by looking at income. Wealth is not a number, it's a fraction. It's an equation. It's earnings divided by expenses. If I told you the person who earns $1 million has a lot of children and pays for private school and has to upgrade his car every single year and has 6 houses he has to buy to keep up with his neighbors and goes away for Pesach, goes on exotic vacations every single year, and his expenses are $2 million, maybe he's earning $1 million, but he's losing money every single year. And if the person earning $25,000 a year has a house already paid for, kids go to public school, no other bills to pay, that money's going straight into savings. The one earning $25,000 a year might be saving money every year, while the person making $1 million is incurring a loss. And if you think about it, this is very empowering information. Because if wealth is not a number that we have to attain, but an equation, a fraction of what we have divided by what we need, then even if we can't control what we have, we do have some level of control over how much we need, what our expectations are, what our standard of living is. Who among us has not spent time dreaming about winning the lottery? How much happier we'd be if we can finally get all the things that we want and need. And yet, studies have shown that people who come into money all of a sudden, be it through the lottery or an inheritance or promotion, 6 months later are not any happier than before the money. And the reason for that is because when people increase what they have, they immediately also increase what they need. Suddenly the remodeling of the kitchen takes place, and maybe buying a new house, or getting that third car, going on vacation, going away for Pesach. All of a sudden, when there's more money, there's more expenses. And if wealth is a fraction, well, when you increase a fraction's numerator and denominator by the same constant, the fraction isn't actually getting any higher. And sometimes, studies have shown, people start to spend even more proportionally, coming out even less happy, even less wealthy than before. The increased money makes them have even more desires now, and all of a sudden there's so many things they can't afford that they never even thought about before they had this money. What psychologists have found to be helpful in terms of money and happiness is when coming into new money, don't increase your standard of living. Keep the denominator the same. And feel wealthy for a while. Feel like you have more than you need. And then gradually, slowly over time, one thing at a time, increase the need slowly so they don't outpace the increase in income. Rav Schwab in this week's Parsha explains that this is what Chazal meant when they said that giving tzedakah will be a guarantee to be wealthy. Chazal did not guarantee $1 million, and that wouldn't even help a person become wealthy necessarily. Wealth is not a number, it's a state of mind. Chazal guaranteed if you give charity, you're going to be rich. And it's true. If a person not only doesn't match or exceed their expectations or what they need, but they decisively only spend 90% of what they have on themselves, then they're declaring out loud that not only do they have enough for what they need, they have a surplus. They have so much extra they could afford to support other people. I'm not a philanthropist like, you know, donating a wing of a hospital, but I'm supporting somebody else. The money I have covers my expenses and then some. I can cover someone else's expenses. How about that fraction? In a person's mind, when they see that they have so much more than what they actually need, that's what wealth is. Eizo Ashir Asmech B'Chalko is not a cop-out. It's not the we're all winners. That's a cop-out. We're not all winners. Can't all be winners. But we can all be rich. Because to be rich, all we have to do is show that we have enough and maybe even more than we need. And in this sense, Aser to Aser is a guarantee. If we give tzedakah, we're guaranteed to feel rich because all richness is feeling rich. A number can't guarantee it. And the way to feel rich is to show that we have so much more than we need. And giving tzedakah, giving 90% to ourselves and letting the other 10% help other people, that's a guarantee to be rich. Hashem should help us internalize this mindset and realize that wealth is not a number. It's a fraction. It's a mindset. And if we can't change what we have, well, at least we can always change what we need. And by giving to others, by giving tzedakah, we're guaranteed to have that feeling of wealth. In baseball, we can't all be winners. But in life, we can all be wealthy.